Yes, sir. A couple things real quick. One of the worst places to be in a conference is before lunch. The next one is right before the break, before the last preacher, before lunch. And so I'm blessed to be here. But now, honestly, I do appreciate the opportunity to come back. I wasn't told to stay away after last year, so that makes me feel pretty good. So I do appreciate the opportunity to be able to come back. The hospitality, the food, the hotel, everything is fabulous. Fellowship, getting to be able to talk to people that we met last year, getting to finally meet somebody for the first time that we've done Bible studies and things over the past 3 months. Just a couple things real quick, and I'm going to get this going before I forget, so I don't take all my time. But I put some cards back there on the table. Crosswork Ministries is kind of the name that we've kind of gone with over the past 18 years, and a lot of you may or may not know about us, and that's because we're in Kentucky, and there's not much in Kentucky as far as grace stuff. We were talking about that the other night. I was telling Jeffrey the other night, I said, Brother Steve said there's going to be about 17 pastors in this church, and he's like, there's not even 17 pastors in the state of Kentucky. I said, I know. It means we got some work to do. But we do appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here. And one of the things I will kind of mention is our website, of course, is crossworkministries.org. I've got a Facebook, I guess, name or whatever is Crosswork Ministries. And so everything's kind of underneath that. And we've got a group that we started about 3 years ago. We just had our third year anniversary of when we started our group in Kentucky. And they're watching, so one of the things I get to look forward to is when I go back to Genesis and Leviticus and a couple of verses here in a little bit, one of the guys, anytime we go back there, he always says, well, the board members, we're going to have a meeting if you're going to go back in the Old Testament all the time. And a couple other things real quick that I do want to mention. Ruth, Brother Steve was talking about Ruth last night. Last year at the La Follette Conference, I spoke to Ruth, and there is a song that I came across. And so whenever we do live Bible studies on YouTube on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, I would try and have some different types of music play. And every time I would have a music or song play, I would get a thing from YouTube saying, you're not allowed to do this because this song is copyrighted. So I said, I need to find a song that's not copyrighted. So I did. And Great is His Mercy is a really wonderful old song that if you don't know it, look it up. The lyrics in the song is beautiful. The music even more so. So last year when we were in La Follette, I asked Ruth, could you play this, record it? And so she did. And so every Wednesday night before our Bible study, we play that song along with a little PowerPoint thing saying, you know, this is our information, Bible study is getting ready to start. And to have that from one of my greatest supporters is an amazing thing. That she lives on every Wednesday night when we play that song. And it's an amazing thing that we got to meet her. And we appreciate her and the folks here as well. Next thing I do want to mention is Monday nights we do Pal Talk stuff. Me and a couple other guys, we do that on Pal Talk. There was a shirt I was going to show you. I forgot. I didn't sleep well last night. Every 15, I went to sleep at 2 o'clock, and about every 15 minutes, I was telling Alan this morning, I said, every 15 minutes, I'm waking up thinking of a verse, and then when I go to write it down, I forgot the verse. And so we do that. Oh, there it is. Ask and you shall receive. Monday nights, 7 o'clock, Grace Bible Studies. That's something that we do that's been going on for years, and we're kind of taking that over. Also, with Jeffrey Noonan. Yeah, RL's one of those. Gregory Rocca, who was supposed to come up with us, he wasn't able to make it. Jeffrey Noonan and I, he lives in Paducah, Kentucky, which is about 4.5 hours away from us, about 3.5-4 hours away from us. So what we did 3 months ago is we started making podcasts together. We'd call each other on the phone. He would record his part. I would record mine. He would send me his audio. We would put it together, and we would put out a podcast that sounds like we're sitting across each other from the table. And I finally got a meeting this weekend. For the first time face-to-face, I got a meeting. And things like that allow us the opportunity to present the gospel in ways that was never possible 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I tell my students at school, I teach at a high school, I teach mathematics at a high school, and I tell my students all the time, you don't realize what it's like not to have internet. When I was a junior in high school, that was when internet first existed. Thanks to Al Gore, obviously. But if it hadn't been for him, we wouldn't be able to do Facebook Live. We wouldn't be able to do our stuff on YouTube Live and things like that. But I get opportunities to talk to students, and that's actually where the study for today that I was going to do came out of a conversation with a young man at school who was supposed to speak at FCA, and he came to me and said, I'm thinking about talking about this. What do you think about it? So we had some conversations, and he comes to me and says, all right, so what do you think about this? And, of course, the bad thing is I missed it Friday because he was speaking Friday when we came down Friday, so I kind of missed that. But having that conversation, the opportunity to speak to kids in schools where it's not allowed, and I'll say this every time, it's allowed, no matter what anybody tells you. There's a bill that they put into Kentucky law that they're looking to see if they can pass, where they can teach the Bible in schools. And people say, bless God, we got to get the Bible back in school. It never left. And then they ask me, well, what do you think about that? I'm kind of worried. Because if they're going to preach the Bible, do you know what they're going to preach? Not the King James. They're going to preach about the other Jesus. They're going to preach the other Spirit. That's all commercial. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And on that note, when we come here to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, start reading in verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, but I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. What I want to look at is, a couple weeks ago on the Monday night Bible, pal talk that we were talking about, I said this what I was going to do that Monday night. It's kind of a precursor to what I'm doing today. And so we looked at how Adam took the doctrine that was given to him. Brother Allen said it perfectly. He was given one command. And he broke it. He was supposed to teach Eve. She broke it. The doctrine wasn't committed the proper way. And so then, that's what we want to take a look at today. A little bit more. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Get Genesis chapter 2 in one hand and Genesis chapter 3. We'll flip back and forth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 3. When we take a look at how the Word of God is designed to work in us, we see when we don't take the doctrine correctly and apply that doctrine correctly in our lives, this is where we end up. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in that day, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now if we take a look at this and compare those two different things, in Ephesians chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? Freely eat." If we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, what's Eve say? "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." She forgets something there? Is that word freely important? Better believe it is. Go back over to verse 17 of chapter 2. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Go back to chapter 3. Verse 3. Eve says, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." Did God say that? No. So there's a disconnect between what God told Adam and what Eve tells Satan. The issue really comes down to how we apply the doctrine. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, the context here is Jesus Christ is baptized. He comes up to John, says, "I want you to baptize me." And John says, "Well, I have need to be baptized of thee." And what's Jesus Christ's response? "Suffer it to be so." Why? Because we must fulfill righteousness. Go down to chapter 4, verse 1. We've seen how Eve reacted to Satan. Let's see how Jesus Christ fares. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, so his next three words. And then he does what? Quotes Scripture. Perfectly, by the way. Does he leave out a word? Does he add something to it? He says, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. One of the things that this kid asked me the other day, he says, Well, what does he really mean when he says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but by every... It's not enough to have food to live for the flesh, but you have to have food for your soul. Where do you find that food? You've got a book in your hand. Hopefully it has the three letters KJV on it. That was another conversation I had with that kid. He's got a New Living Translation. I show him three verses in a parallel Bible. He says, I think I need to get a King James. Quickest that's ever happened. I was expecting a fight. I was like, I know the next one I'm going to take you to, and the next. Up there, you're talking about Calvinism. We're eat up with it up there. And every one of them's got an ESV and swear that the ESV is the only Bible that's translated from the original texts. And I said this last year, you're right. They're the wrong texts. Continuing on. That's a whole nother sermon. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, If thou be the Son of God. Do you notice how every time Satan starts off, what did he start off with Eve? A question. If. How did he start off with Jesus Christ? A question. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Ooh. You got an adversary that knows the book probably better than we do. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again. Verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. Why? For it is written. We can take a look at, from the very first time when Mary and Joseph can't find Jesus Christ as a young boy, he's where? In the synagogue, preaching the Scripture. We come here, after his baptism, he goes and he's being tempted 40 days and 40 nights, and his automatic response to Satan is, Scripture. We take a look at his ministry. Anytime somebody came against him, haven't you ever read? It's Scripture. He lives his life with Scripture on his mind. When he's questioned by religious folks, he has Scripture on his mind. When he's crucified, he's got Scripture on his mind. That's why he quotes Psalm 22. Because it's on his mind. That's why he asks for something to drink. Because there's a verse that needs to be fulfilled. The verses are on his mind. When he's resurrected, don't touch me because I've not ascended to the Father. He's got scripture on his mind. When he returns and he's speaking to the disciples, what's he doing? Teaching them scripture. When he comes to Saul, what's he do? Scripture. So when we take a look at Eve, how did she deal with the adversary? She didn't fare very well. When you take a look at Jesus Christ, how did he fare? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 real quick. And I'm looking at this clock, and it's going way too fast. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Paul says what? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the what?
Same.
The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. By the way, I don't just have a Bible in my room. The first day of school, I quote that to my students. And I say, the way that we're going to do things in here is I want to be able to teach you something so that you can turn around and teach somebody else if they don't understand what I'm saying. And I tell them, this is the basis of how I do things in my classroom. It's 2 Timothy 2:2. That's a public school, by the way. It's not a private Christian school or anything like that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a whole bunch of verses I want to get to, but I'm going to get two because I don't want to take up too much time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brother was already there this morning. I turned to Delilah. I was like, he's stealing my verse. But you didn't. You just mentioned it. So, notice verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it as not as it is the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, that what? Effectually worketh in you that believe. There's this idea that once I get saved, Christ takes care of everything for me. I don't have to do anything. Isn't it just enough that I'm saved? I go to church on Sundays. I sing in the choir. I play the bells in my church, whatever it may be. Isn't it just enough that I'm saved? Heard somebody out here say no. Amen. God's will is that all men be saved. It's not a period. And come unto the knowledge of the truth. That knowledge of the truth, when you build that up, do you know what it does? It effectually. It's effective.
Hebrews tells us, and he said it again, Hebrews 4 tells us what? The Word of God is quick. It means it's alive. It's quick and powerful. When you've got this Word and you build it up in your soul, do you know what it's going to do to you? When you have troubles and trials and tribulations and life just happens, it's going to work in you. Effectually. One last verse. Go back to 2 Samuel real quick. Again, this would be the time when Mike would say, "Not the board's going to meet. Spending too much time in the Old Testament." Well, the good thing is when you're the board, you pretty much have a meeting with yourself and you say, "We're good. Let's move on." 2 Samuel 23. I didn't tell you the chapter, did I? One thing you don't hear at a lot of churches is the flipping of the pages. You know, there's something to going to the verse and reading it rather than looking at it on a screen. I mean, is that good to have it up there? Okay. But you know what's better? If you'd have the book in your hand, you read it. Not one version up there. One version the pastor's speaking from, and four different versions out there, and then everybody's like, "That's not what mine says." To have the book in your hand, the Word of the living God in your hand, to read and to study and to apply in your life. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 1. I got to do this real quick. "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said." Well, I'll tell you what. Isn't that an introduction? Amen. That's an introduction. "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was" where? "In my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass singing out of the earth by clear, shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yea, he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be of all them that as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and when they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place." Notice. "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tekemonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same as Adino the Yeznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day." Notice that. "And his hand clave" what? Sword. We have a book that is different than every book that's ever been published. And if we clave our hand to the sword and care about what this sword says and care about what this sword says rightly divided,
it will work effectually in you that believeth. It takes care of those things. Takes care of those issues. Takes care of, well, so-and-so doesn't like me. Get in the Word. Find out what the Word says. I'm afraid all too often, I was thinking, I think we've got Adams in the pulpit. I'm starting to think we've got Eves in the pulpit. If you look out in Christianity, there's way too many Eves not teaching the Word of God properly. Thank you all.